When the University of Alaska Museum wanted to get to the North Slope to reach some marine reptile fossils, they called on an unusual source, the Army. After much planning and preparation, the groups teamed up to retrieve the ichthyosaur. Fairbanks-based Army Chief Warrant Officer Mark Morgan was one of the pilots on the expedition. At the dig site last month, he talked to KUAC's Libby Casey about the Chinook helicopters he loves to fly.
I started out in the Air National Guard, and from there I went active duty in the Air Force and was on a research and development project, and I saw a commercial for high school, the flight school. And so I applied for that, and I was quickly selected, went over to the Army. And I made it all the way through flight school. I was about to my last 2 weeks before I realized you could pick your own aircraft. And I wanted to pick Apaches because they had guns and you could shoot things. And my TAC officer was a Chinook pilot, and he firmly convinced me to pick Chinooks. And I chose Chinooks and have been extremely happy ever since.
Did it seem a little less glamorous to you, or a little less aggressive?
I didn't even know what a Chinook was when I chose Chinooks coming out of flight school. I had no idea what they looked like. I had no anything about them or about the mission or capability. The only thing I actually knew anything about was the Apache. It had guns. You could shoot things. After I picked Chinooks, I asked some questions. Well, what does a Chinook do? And they told me it's a cargo and personnel transport aircraft, and it's the biggest thing the Army had. And I said, well, that's great. I'll fly the biggest. Bigger is better.
For someone who's never seen one before, can you describe some of the aircraft's features and then what it really is built for?
It's a tandem rotor helicopter. It's got a rotor in the front, rotor in the back. It's twin engine. Very powerful engines, produce 4,500 shaft horsepower apiece, and normally we run about 3,750 maximum on it. It will cruise at about 145 knots, consuming about 2,400 pounds of fuel an hour. And that's about 800 gallons. Primarily, it's for the transport of troops, supplies, munitions. We can sling load guns, large artillery pieces, or trucks, or other ground vehicles. We also do a lot of high altitude rescue operations, particularly here in Alaska and in the Washington Army Reserve. Conducts high altitude rescue on Mount Rainier, where we'll do it here on Denali. Matter of fact, we've already done one this year. Normally we do two or three. We have a special team of people who are certified for high altitude mountain rescue type operations. This is a very treacherous type of mission because of the winds over the mountain passes. And we also do firefighting operations where we'll sling load what we call a Bambi bucket. We drop down into a lake and it fills up with water, and then we'll go out and we'll spray the water over a fire.
Pilots must really have a love of what they fly. That's why you're doing it. But what about the Chinook has been really appealing to you? Because I know you've gotten into it. You even have a website devoted to it.
Oh, yeah. I have a rather large website on there. It's about 400 pages. Virtually every question I've ever been asked, I've developed a page about and put that information on the web, on the Internet, for everybody to see. My love for the aircraft comes from it's an extremely reliable and extremely powerful aircraft. you can pick up to about 25,000 pounds in this thing and just go all day long. When you're talking about two engines capable of producing, you know, 3,750 horsepower, to the average layperson, it's difficult to describe that amount of power. And it's extremely smooth, it's extremely stable. Doesn't require too much workload at all to fly the aircraft. It's just a fantastic machine.
I was amazed at the precision. We were watching three Chinooks from the ground yesterday, mm-hmm. and they were in just perfect formation, just straight in a line, just hovering, keeping what seemed like totally still. Is that an accomplishment? Is that something that's difficult for helicopters and pilots to do?
It's actually a whole lot easier than what it looks like. It's one of our standard training tasks is formation flight and then maintaining a stable hover over the ground. The standard is generally 10 feet, plus or minus a foot for altitude height, and then within 3 feet over the ground. But a lot of times we'll practice hovering at several hundred feet, especially when we come into some remote areas like this where we need to take a good hard look at the ground before we do land. We'll circle, we'll evaluate the terrain and the suitability of the landing area, And in a lot of cases, we'll come to hover, and we'll wait for one guy to get down, and then the second guy and the third guy, or how many are in the flight. But it is extremely easy to do.
It's easy for you to say. Well, I've definitely seen a lot of patience and teamwork, because you have a couple different people who are on the aircraft all evaluating if it's a safe place to land, if the ground's too wet or soggy, if the aircraft will sink a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then one by one, each Chinook makes its move and the others wait. How much of a team effort is it?
We pretty much operate with a crew of four, but it's one mind. We're all talking and thinking at the same time. We can be best described as a very close-knit family. Although we come from all over the United States, we train together as a team, and we train to a single standard. And the result of that is that we communicate consistently using the same standardized language with each other, and we talk all the time. So the closer we get to the ground, the more people are talking to let us know what's going on, because you cannot see anything after the cockpit. You rely 100% on the people in the back to tell you whether or not there's obstruction. And if they're not talking, we're in trouble. So we learned to talk. It's what's called aircrew coordination, something we picked up from the civilian commercial airlines. They started teaching it a number of years ago, and then the Army picked up on it. And it's a very good program.
And when you say you can't see beyond the cockpit, you mean the pilot and the co-pilot really have a pretty narrow focus of what they can see when you get close to the ground.
Right. We can only see, you know, from the glass windows up front forward. We can see a little bit to the side and nothing, absolutely nothing to the rear. So if the flight engineer or crew chief is not warning us or talking us down to a specific spot, we cannot see it. And if he's not talking, it becomes very dangerous very fast.
In an age of such quick technology developments, it's almost surprising to see actual men and women back there looking out the window and watching and monitoring and giving feedback. I mean, they're really your eyes and ears back there.
Oh, and there's no substitute for a good pair of eyes. We can spot traffic for many, many miles away. We train our eyes to look far away, up and down, left and right constantly, and then tell somebody else in the airplane what's going on. And without that communication, you can't function as a team. And you'd either be shot by the enemy or you'd hit a tree real fast.
This has been, it seems like a very interesting mission for you guys, and it's presented challenges and hopefully some training. But you do have colleagues who are doing this kind of thing overseas in much less of an exciting environment, much more of a dangerous one.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
Well, I think probably the same as every other soldier. You want to get into the fight, and you want to help out as much as you can. And sometimes you feel guilty that you're not there. But you have to put that in perspective and realize that the powers that be that are in charge of the Army know what they need over there. They place their right assets over there. And if and when they need you, they'll call for you. The key for us is to stay trained, to stay ready, and be prepared to deploy the second we get that phone call.
Well, thank you very much for talking with me.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That's Chief Warrant Officer 4 Mark Morgan in the U.S. Army.